Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. Over these past few days, in the aftermath of the November 4 election, or should I say elections, in which the communist, other socialist-oriented Democratic Party, came roaring back into power in various elections across the nation. The party's leaders are now gloating over these victories and preparing to retake control of Congress next year, they hope, or rather in early 2027 after the elections next year, and also to impeach and impossible imprison Donald Trump, destroy MAGA, and plunge the nation right back into their Marxist revolution that gained such momentum under the traitorous and criminal Biden presidency and administration. This would no doubt include throwing open the nation's borders again and actively transporting into the country tens of millions and ultimately hundreds of millions of desperately poor migrants from all over the world in violation of our country's immigration laws and taking our money and property and redistributing it to these people and turning us into a world government slave state. Now, I know it's hard to even imagine that Americans would want to do such a thing to their own country and other countries in this world, but you have to remember that this has happened before under communism, although usually under violent revolutions that installed communist governments around the world over the last century. And the level of brainwashing of millions of benighted, that is, in the dark, Americans into believing that life will somehow be great once communism or other forms of socialism take hold here. This is all utter insanity, but it's what some of these people actually believe. Others are in it for the money, for themselves, or their companies and corporations. It's a large, complicated situation that does involve our own capitalist leaders, some of them anyway, with their money tied up in China and their businesses and so forth. Lately, I've come to begin calling the so-called mainstream media the legacy media, believing that the influence of ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, New York Times, and so many other leftist-dominated mainstream outlets has been wanting for many years. But today, I believe I and many others have been badly mistaken about this. Conservative commentator Dr. Steve Turley, for whom I have great respect for his intellect, insight, and research capabilities, has estimated that perhaps 20 million Americans are influenced by these Democratic Party propaganda front organizations. If this is true, this is an enormous amount of people still under the influence of these outlets. Dr. Turley, who you'll be seeing more of later in our program today, prides himself on always taking a positive perspective on current events, though at times he acknowledges the seriousness of the threats we face to our beloved country, our freedoms, and prosperity. Turley has been putting out podcasts claiming the communist and self-proclaimed democratic socialist Zoran Mamdani's campaign for mayor of New York City was in trouble and was imploding. Obviously, this was wrong, as Mamdani won the election with more than 50% of the vote. So in this respect, at least, I have to consider that Dr. Turley has egg on his face, even though he's continuing to accept the positive as usual in his post-election analyses, as you will see later in our program today. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom, another Pied Piper of communism, as I call him and Mamdani, was quick to claim victory for the state's Proposition 50 well before any vote results were released on election night. It now takes California at times weeks to complete vote counting for elections. I don't know why. I have a feeling it has to do with fraud, but anyway. And I still don't know the exact vote totals for Prop 50, which supposedly passed handily and which overrides the state's supposedly nonpartisan election redistricting agency, which nevertheless leans leftist. This was done so Democrats can gerrymander more of the state's congressional districts and add 5 new Democratic seats to offset Texas's recent redistricting, which added 5 more Republican congressional seats. Newsom was quick to urge other Democrat-run states to immediately gerrymander more of their districts to add more Democrat seats and ensure the Democratic Party's planned retaking control of Congress to destroy Trump and MAGA. And of course, you probably know that Democrats won the governorships in Virginia and New Jersey, although these are 2 traditionally Democrat strongholds. And the Democrat machines there are tough to overcome. Even Pennsylvania, where Turley had reported, I believe, that Republican voter registrations were soaring, voted to re-elect 3 allegedly leftist state Supreme Court justices. The pundits are still wringing their hands and trying to decide just why Republicans lost so big in the election. Lots of reasons are being thrown out. It was because Trump himself wasn't on the ballots, but he was, in a sense. Trump and Republicans didn't do enough to campaign and get out the vote for their candidates, which I believe is probably true. Republicans were blamed for the current government shutdown, when in fact it's the Democrats who have been refusing to vote for legislation to reopen the government and demanding some $1.5 trillion more in spending for causes which they want, causes and programs and policies, including some $200 billion for free health care for their illegal alien constituencies. And on goes the speculation about why Republicans lost so big and what it means for the nation's future. I'm very worried about all this. We saw what happened to Trump, his supporters, and the country under the Biden administration. It's truly frightening to contemplate what might happen if fanatics like Mam Daddy and Newsom are the ones running the country. If nothing else, the election should be a wake-up call to Republicans and the MAGA movement that we have not decisively defeated the political left, and we had better get going on securing our elections from fraud. As I'm convinced, election fraud played at least some part in the election, and getting our message out to more Americans before it's too late. It was also speculated that the economy was the issue. Americans were suffering. The energy's high, food's high. Well, that came up as a result of Biden and the Democrats. But, of course, the Democrats are great at accusing others of what they are doing, as do the communists. So, anyway, that all said, let's begin with today's videos. I'm going to play the first 4 back-to-back without further commentary. The first 3 are parts of his commentary on the election by conservative firebrand Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show. Some people find Jones' commentaries extremist and alarming, but as many observers have pointed out, Jones has been right more than he's been wrong, and I find merit in a lot of what he talks about while not always agreeing with his observations and opinions. As I always do, I want again to point out that I never in any way advocate any kind of violence or illegality in response to the threats to freedom and our way of life we face today. Nor am I calling for or believe Jones is calling for any such wrong and evil behavior against so-called racial or ethnic minorities or immigrants. The 4th video clip played is another podcast on his YouTube channel by Dr. Turley, pointing out failures already coming to pass in Zohran Mamdani's promises of a new age and era of a socialist utopia for the people of New York City and, by inference, the nation.
Built by immigrants, powered by immigrants, tonight, led by an immigrant. So hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
This is a Trump I really love.
Your beloved New York City may well be led by a communist soon, Zorhan Mamdani, who in his nomination speech said he will defy ICE and will not allow ICE to arrest criminal aliens in New York City. Your message to communist Zorhan Mamdani?
Well, then we'll have to arrest him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know exactly what's going on and how to stop it, I'm your man, and the guests we've got on the broadcast are your men as well. Now, Europe's basically already fallen to this, so is the UK. We're about 10 years behind them. We can easily stop this if we wake up and become extremely aggressive politically and culturally, nonviolently, and just tell it like it is, and we have strategies to stop this. We have a good chance of actually saving the UK the way things are lining up right now, but it's going to be hard, and parts of Europe. But this is a planned Islamic invasion backed up by the globalists and the big banks. It's the Red-Green Alliance. The Democrats swept the elections nationwide, state, and local with a collection of open communist and open jihad Muslims that hate the West with a driving passion. And that's why they've been brought here, to destroy us. But we're not going to be caught flat-footed this time. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. I am your embattled host and chronicler, Alexander Emmerich Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, transmitting worldwide in the defense of our American Republic and the West's very survival. Now, the globalists and their alliance with Islam has gotten the jump on Europe and gotten the jump on the UK because of the leadership opening the drawbridge. And the United States is in deep trouble as well, but not in as bad a shape as Europe, which, barring extreme measures, is unsalvageable. Now, the globalists have openly said since the 40s that Western free societies are too popular, too successful, too amazing, and so they had to be infiltrated, they had to be undermined, to be brought down. The globalists do not want prosperity. They want to sabotage society. We all know that. That's their stated goal, from cutting off energy to cutting off food to dumbing the population down. And you bring in Islam by the 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 million into the West that is 100% non-compatible with the West and is virulently anti-Christian and sees anything Western as Christian and has a blood oath to conquer it by the sword and destroy it. This is premeditated under the Kalergi plan and a replacement migration under the Cloward and Piven program to collapse us. This is the admitted plan. Like, we're having a shutdown to have leverage over the Republicans to give us what we want that'll bankrupt the country. Well, the American people shouldn't be leverage. But again, they abuse their people, but their people are so dumbed down, from the soccer moms to the welfare queens to you name it, that they just can't think ahead of their nose. They can't even think a month out. They just like, I'm going to get a bunch of free stuff. Oh, you're going to get free tuition. You're going to get free health care. You're going to get free. And then what do they get? Almost nothing. And the illegal aliens get triple what welfare queens get, because you're already here. They already got your vote. They need an incentive. They need to put cheese out on the mousetrap to get people come in to get it, so they can get more seats through the census in the Congress for blue sectors. And they admit that. Wait till I get to California. Oh, wait. Woo, what they did there. 92% on average poll. They're all high 80s, mid 90s. 92 is about the average. Don't want to have the districting for the congressional seats taken away from the, quote, independent state commission that's already super leftist and give it to something even worse, the Democratic Party. And then the vast majority voted for it. That's called election fraud. So remember, they don't want you to know this is all premeditated. They don't want you to know about Cloward and Piven or replacement migration document, official UN policy right there on screen from 2000 and 2021, another one. Because then you know it's deliberate. What's the cardinal sin you hear everywhere? The ADL says, Alex Jones talks about replacement migration. He or anybody else talks about it, put him in prison. Oh, there's an official UN plan to replace white Europeans and white Americans with third world populations that are more easily controllable, says it in the plan. And we're like, well, here's the plan. Oh, no, that doesn't exist. So you got to understand what you're up against here, ladies and gentlemen. And I go back to it. It is premeditated. And these globalists and the allied armies of Islam and the communists and all of them and the pedophile networks and the coalitions of scum and criminals, they just are looking at it like a jewelry store. They're going to do a heist on right now. And they, I mean, you look at the look in Mondami and Alexander Soros and all their eyes. I mean, they have got a maniacal look in their eye. They're not builders. They're destroyers. And whether in Australia, Scotland, Ireland, England, Germany, TV shows for children say, you're 12, go get a Muslim husband. The West is bad, join Islam. Well, asking the parents all over, it's in the news every day. And for kindergartners, they bring in imams and teach them about Islam. But you don't talk about Christianity. It's the fetish to destroy the West. It's beyond cuckolding, you know, where men want to see their, you know, wife trained by, you know, 20 dudes. They want to do it to your children. Mondami hates himself so much because he's so inbred. He's such scum. He's just pure, just evil. And he just wants to hurt you. He wants you to eat bug protein. He wants to destroy you. And he believes it's his right. And he will do it if you let him. So this isn't just about, oh, what will happen in New York? Yeah, it's going to get bigger now. It's going to become a center of resistance. It's going to become a worse cesspool. And you think turning it loose and leaving and cutting it loose, oh, they'll see socialism and communism doesn't work. Oh, they know it works for the ruling class. Communism works real good for the tiny satanic criminals that run it.
True to form, Mamdani is already holding his hand out and soliciting for more donations from the very people who support him, despite his campaign promises to overwhelm those supporters with all kinds of free stuff, you know, like bus service, rent freezes, and the like. The irony is beyond palpable. I mean, think about it. After winning on the promise of providing for ordinary New Yorkers, the first thing Mamdani does is turn around and ask those same supporters to pay for his transition team. The guy who ran around New York City promising free stuff is already asking for money from the very people he promised all that free stuff to. You can't make this stuff. I mean, so immediately, already out of the gate, we can already see how all this free stuff ain't so free. In fact, there's no such thing as free. Think of it as like the F word. Free simply means someone else is paying for it. And they all happen to be leaving New York. Now, the irony here is that the first people who are paying for Mamdani's government are the very people he promised wouldn't have to pay a dime. And of course, this was all completely predictable. Anyone could see it a mile away. Here's Piers Morgan last night on the Greg Gutfeld Show.
I mean, this is going to be an absolutely priceless thing to watch because Mamdani has never run a Welk stool. If you remember Welk stools, jelly deals, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He's never run anything.
Yeah.
He's in his 30s. He's got zero experience. But what he's brilliant, he's a brilliant politician. Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant promiser of great things to come. He's the promised land in many ways. The problem is he will not be able to deliver on any of these promises. Socialism does not work.
Mm-hmm.
It never works anywhere. It's never going to work anywhere. And so he's going to start letting down people very quickly.
And as we can see, it's already happening. He's already beginning to walk back on a number of tens of millions of promises that he made on how his socialist government was going to come in and solve every single problem on the planet.
Our next video is again from a recent edition of the Alex Jones Show, in which Alex Jones discusses the report just released by the Congressional House Oversight Committee, finding that extensive use of the auto pen for Joe Biden's executive orders and pardons render them null and void.
Congress Oversight Committee has released their report on the Biden auto pen, demands DOJ probe of auto pen use in scathing new report. Comer says Biden auto pen action should be considered void and that his doctor should potentially lose his license. Well, that's the bare minimum. That's the surface. They had a special committee that decided what bills were signed, what executive orders. It turns out of thousands of signed documents, executive orders, bills, they have found real Biden signatures on two of them. All of the other ones were not signed by Biden, and most of the time he was not even in the White House when this was happening. House Oversight declares Biden auto pen orders null and void, including pardons. So not only did the Democrat Party behind Biden as their puppet steal the 2020 election, caught red-handed, bigger than Dallas, then almost every thing he signed, legislation, executive orders, directives, memorandums, all of it was written by a committee who would decide what to sign off on. Special interests would write it, then they would sign off on it. And Roger Stone, in December of 2020, when the whole battle was going on about the illegitimate election, said, when Biden gets in, we play these clips from then, he said it'll be a committee running it from a secondary White House about a mile away that Obama has, and he listed who the people would be that would be on the committee, and now they've had, months ago, the chief of staff for Biden turned himself in, basically, to Ed Martin and came in and said, yeah, it was a committee here who was on it, and they would decide what to sign. Then it got even more out of control, and staff started selling pardons themselves and doing the auto pen that were over the auto pen. Because they're like, well, you know, they're robbing and stealing above us. Why shouldn't we get in on this? Well, Attorney General Pam Bondi says my team is reviewing the Biden administration's reported use of auto pen for pardons. Thank you to Representative James Comer for his great work on this. We look forward to working alongside the GOP to deliver accountability for the American people. She just said that a few minutes ago. So you cannot really overstate how tyrannical this is. How illegitimate. This is a deep state, bureaucrat, democratic coup over America. Because you can try to debate whether or not Biden stole the election. If you're ignorant, you can just say, oh, no, he didn't, but they did. We know that is proven. But with this, we know that the person that we supposedly elected has his real signature on two bills. No executive orders. No memorandums, no directives, two. They wouldn't even let him in the Oval Office most of the time. They, across the street, built a fake Oval Office where he would do press conferences and sit there. They didn't even want him in the building. When Obama would come to the White House, Biden would wander around the stage. No one would want to talk to him. They all want to go up and kiss Obama's ass because he was really enjoying his third unelected term. So Congress is saying that they want the DOJ to investigate this. This is bigger than the DOJ. This is a constitutional crisis. You can posthumously, I don't mean he's dead, though he's close to it, you can impeach a president after they're out of office, strip him of presidential immunity, and then null and void every piece of legislation he signed because he didn't sign it. It's a fraud. If somebody goes into the bank with a fake ID, looks a little bit like you, tricks them to empty out your bank account to them, and then you find out a week later, it's on the bank. They got to pay you back. That fraud doesn't stand. So this is the same thing here. And when you're dealing with crimes of this magnitude, how do you even respond to it? Yeah, Trump a few months ago has photos of or paintings of all 47 presidents hanging on the wall in the corridor entering the Oval Office. Starts with George Washington, moves up to modern times with Kennedy and Reagan and the Bushes and all of it, and Obama. But when you get to Biden, 46th president, on both sides you got Trump, 45 and 47, and you got Biden, it's an auto pin. That's not even a joke. That's who was president the last 4 years.
Our last video presentation today is from a recent Stephen Gardner Show podcast on YouTube, in which Gardner interviews former CIA operative Gary Burtson, who has been working with elections integrity activist and former CEO of Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne, and others to expose interference in elections around the world. And in this interview, Burtson makes startling allegations, including that Venezuela and Cuba have infiltrated the U.S. government and have been used by Russia, China, and others to influence policy and foreign relations, and that Venezuela has been helping to sway elections for the left around the world, including, of course, the USA.
I just finished one of the most incredible interviews I have done in my career. This was one of the hardest interviews for me to get, but I got it for you. In this interview, we talk about how the Biden administration colluded with Nicolas Maduro in order to infiltrate our elections, in order to bring drugs and human trafficking to the United States, and to infiltrate with Tren de Aragua cartel gang members. President Trump and Tulsi Gabbard have been briefed on all of this. You're about to have your mind blown. Well, the media would have you believe that President Trump is pushing for war with Venezuela or a regime change. I believe it could be something other than that. To help me go through all this, I have Gary Burtson. Gary, thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be with you, sir.
So a little background for my audience. Gary is a distinguished American securities expert, a retired 23-year CIA veteran.
So the point was the FBI, Homeland Security, and the CIA during the Biden administration did no collection on this stuff. They were in stand-down mode. They were not collecting against Venezuela or the Cartel del Sol. And there's a reason for it. The reason is they were colluding with that administration and with that cartel because they knew they could deliver elections to them. Make no mistake what this was about.
Wow.
No mistake.
Yeah.
All right, look, I led the entry into Afghanistan. I was in charge of the East Africa bombings. I was the chief of Hezbollah operations in CIA for several years. So I had responsibility for the Khobar Towers bombings and the bombings in Argentina also, okay? Wasn't my first rodeo. Didn't fall off an onion truck on the way to this thing, okay? I've been doing this thing for a long time. I'm 68 years old. I've been 40 years in the business. don't need to make up stuff. All right. These were wicked people. These people were stealing elections, and our political apparatus, Democratic Party knew, Republicans, some Republicans knew too. Some Republicans knew too. And so, you know, you have to look around. You know, everyone else was sued. Okay. Everybody else was sued, but me. We came out, told them, we have your source code. We have witnesses. I got a letter from Dominion, right? Fox paid them $768.5 million. They sent me a letter to stand down. I wouldn't stand down. Forget that. I want to see them in discovery. They didn't want to meet with me in discovery. They didn't want to interview me. They didn't want to meet me and my witnesses. The witnesses that Martine and I and Patrick were involved with recruiting and bringing in. They're afraid. They should have been afraid. They sold the company a week ago, right? They're running. That's Dominion, Smartmatic, the other part of this that has the same source code, has the same lineage. They're together. Those guys, their president's indicted. He's and she's got a superseding indictment down in Miami for a case of corruption having to do with the elections in the Philippines. Look, they use these machines first in Venezuela, then Latin America, then the United States. And they stole elections in over 70 countries around the world using this code. There has been an all-out assault on global democracy, moving the world to the left. And it was the Venezuelans. It was the Soros people were helping them and meeting with them. It was the Cubans and the Venezuelans. And the Democratic Party in the United States understood. Leaders understood what was up.
And I'm guessing President Trump, Tulsi Gabbard, others, they've been briefed on this because I'm seeing George Soros and Venezuela in headlines like I've never seen it before.
Yeah, they know. President understands. We went to the DNI's office on multiple occasions, but they weren't briefing the leadership there. We had to get our briefings directly to the president because people in the intelligence community were blocking. They were blocking. Because they haven't done their damn jobs. And there are senior people in the intelligence community in the IC on the payroll of the cartels and the Cubans. I'll say that again. There are people in the IC and in the State Department and in the National Security Council over the last decade, we've had penetration after penetration, and their coverage of us is so good that they're not just collecting intelligence, they're deciding on policy. They have done, and the U.S. national security apparatus during the Biden administration and during the first Trump administration and during the Obama administration, they all failed horribly. President understands what the problem is now. The president's starting to fight back. But look, Tulsi reduced the DNI side by 40%. They still don't get it yet on that. They've got the Tren de la Ragua thing. They got the election theft on that. They still do not understand the depth of counterintelligence problems that we have in the United States. It's shocking.
Okay.
And again, we, not the damn FBI, turned in Rocha. Remember something else. Years ago, who did they arrest at the State Department? Kendall Meyer. He was the head of INR, Intelligence and Research. Who did he work for 30 years for? The Cubans. All right? They arrested Ana Montes at DIA. She was the Cuba desk officer spying for the Cubans. Again and again, the Cubans have eaten our lunch. And right now, it's probably worse than ever. And you know, Director Radcliffe and Tulsi Gabbard, they need to get their shit together. They need to get to work on counterintelligence. Every time I've gone over there and I've spoken to people, I speak to analysts. I don't speak to ops officers. Most of the ops officers are gone. They fired them all. We don't need to be talking to analysts. You need people to pursue.
Okay, so then what? So you've got the Democrats saying, why is Trump trying to go to war with Venezuela? You've got Rand Paul saying, Trump has no business going after fishing boats. He has no business going after Maduro. Venezuela, they're not the cartel. We've got to worry about Mexico. Why are we putting the largest aircraft.
They don't understand. Rand Paul doesn't get it. He's poorly informed.
So, but why are we going so heavy on Maduro?
Well, first off, he's the leader of the Cartel del Solis. The government is the cartel.
Okay.
And they control Tren del Aragua. And they did the election. Look, they have been conducting hybrid war against us. And the United States is standing there slack jaw. Donald Trump is fighting back. God bless him. This is the most dangerous. The Cubans, the Russians, the Iranians, you know, the Chinese used Venezuela to pierce the United States' defenses and almost took our country down and took it away from us. Almost. And I think Donald Trump understands that now. And so, you know, look, he's got good people. I am a giant fan of Stephen Miller. I am a giant fan of Pete Hegseth. You know, these guys, he has some good people there. I know a lot of these guys. I know people like, you know, I've known them for many, many years. A lot of several of the people in the cabinet, you know. And okay. I believe Donald Trump is going to execute.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking more and more like that. Let me ask you this. I covered this story, within the last 10 days. President Trump gives permission for the CIA to do operations deep into Venezuela. Do you think that was leaked, or was that leaked on purpose so that Venezuela knows we mean business?
Well, I don't think the CIA means business. The CIA has been colluding with these guys. Sadly, you're talking to a guy that spent 23 years of his life there and went to war for them. They have done an awful job. They were doing very little against the regime. Very little to nothing. Actually, they were meeting with individuals who were double back at them. They had the worst double agent program. You know, the Venezuelans were running sources that the CIA thought they were running, but they were under the control of the Venezuelans. What a joke. They need some basic classes in tradecraft over there. They do. They need some review of tradecraft and asset vetting. Hey, you guys, pay attention. Asset vetting. Review your sources. Test your sources. Know what you're doing. How about giving that a try? My God, it's awful.
Yeah. Gary, let me ask you this. We all know that Biden is an addled old man with a poor memory, as Robert Herr pointed out. But do you believe he knew that they were rigging the election on his behalf? Or do you think that they just kept him in the dark and he genuinely believes he won?
I don't know what he knows. I can tell, like everybody else, that he's not fully functioning, nor has he been functioning for years. You know, I thought it was funny. James Comer comes out the other day and he talks to the president's spokesman. The guy only met with him twice in 4 years. I mean, what kind of insanity is that? Who the hell was running who ran the country? No idea who ran the country for those 4 years. He didn't.
Well, the reason I ask is I'll try to, before this goes out, I'll try to find this clip and I'll just slip it in. But there was basically a clip. Biden, during the 2020 campaigning, he said, "We have the greatest criminal organization for election rigging." He said that out loud, and then everybody said, "Oh, he meant to say that we've got a great organization for the groundwork of the campaign." But he said that out loud. That slipped out of him.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Freudian slip. I mean, it's unbelievable. Look, the book, Stolen Elections, is out. Look, I'm going to explain something else. It was so bad that the State Department had an entity called CEPS, C-E-P-P-S, and the State Department pushed these election machines around the world, and you and I, our tax dollars and all your listeners, paid for at least 30 countries to have those machines that stole their elections. We financed $6.9 billion went out the door of USAID to support election theft. That was because Doge found that stuff. found it linked to SEPs, and a bunch of American politicians were linked to it, not even knowing what it was. They had no idea where their money was going. Thank God Donald Trump shut down USAID. Biggest Ponzi scheme in history.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, you know, you were basically doing Doge following the money.
Right.
And Elon Musk is doing Doge following the money. And you guys, that all the data kind of comes together to realize our country was being overthrown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, that's amazing. I hope that Doge will continue to dig in. Now, the FBI, I covered this story a couple of days ago that the FBI and U.S. Treasury are now working together to track down the George Soros money and the Antifa money. Do you believe that they will find ties and connections?
Oh, yeah. Look, first off, there is an element in the FBI right now. They have a task force with very capable people doing great work on all of this. They have been reorganized. They have, you know, President Trump put some capable people in certain places in the Department of Justice, and Pam Bondi's over there, and they've got some good people doing some good work. There's still people blocking. There's still resistance throughout the Department of Justice. There are all these holdovers that are still on the other side and see it their duty to block. But we've made progress. There are good people making progress. And the president just named someone to be the head of election integrity who's in the White House, has empowered him like a czar. And so that's good. And so, you know, I mean, look, the president's handling a lot of things. You know, he had to handle the Russian stuff. You got so many things. So, like, I'm frustrated that the issue that I was most interested in didn't get as much attention right away. But he's fighting, you know, fires in five different directions. So he's gotten to our stuff and he's moving on that. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful.
Well, and now they've shut down the government for almost 30 days now. Trying to block him that way. Everything he does, the Democrats come out and demonize. Oh, people are going to run out of food stamp money. Here he is dancing in China. It's like, you know, these foreign trips are set up well in advance. He didn't know the government was going to be shut down. It's crazy how many fires he's dealing with.
I would like to say that the fact that it required civilians, two retired guys or two guys out of government, to find out about this $2.7 trillion criminal cartel and the election machines and Train de la Ragua and all the counterintelligence stuff. What was the FBI, the CIA doing all those years? You ought to ask that question. What were they doing? And not much. They were collecting their salaries. There are people now in the Bureau doing stuff. I don't have very much faith in the intel community, but what we do need is a counterintelligence service like MI5. We need a scrub of our government. We are penetrated, ladies and gentlemen, badly. Both political parties are penetrated. This $2.7 trillion cartel is paying people off on all sides. And they're not just paying them directly out of their coffers. They set up businesses, front companies, all sorts of different ways that they're moving money into the hands of people and affecting policy. And so we need to fight back if we want to save our country.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I asked you before the show where I should push people. You said push them to Ralph's book. It's got all the different ways that they have penetrated, how the elections were stolen, how they used taxpayer money in order to do all that. Gary, where do you see this ending with Maduro? Are they going to get Nicolas Maduro and do a regime?
I think the important thing here is that not only Maduro, but the entire leadership of the cartel, Jorge Rodriguez and Delcy Rodriguez, Diosdado Cabello, Vladimir Lopez Padrino. All of these cartel leadership have to go. And understand that many of the people over the years, last 20 years, that have been purportedly in the opposition are not. The one real oppositionist is the woman, Maria Corina Machado, that won the Nobel Prize. Courageous woman. She dedicated the award to Donald Trump. She knows he's trying to help her country. That woman is courageous. And she's the real thing. The rest of these people, you know, we can't allow policy guys in Washington to bring in a cartel light solution. The people of Venezuela voted. Maduro stole that in a 70-30 flip. Maria Corina Machado and her supporters need to be running that country in the future, not some politicians from the past that are acceptable to the cartel. You know, it's not like, you know, after Hitler was killed, we didn't ask the Nazis, who do you want? You know, they would have never chosen Konrad Adenauer, you know, yeah. And they don't want Maria Corina Machado because she's a devout Christian. She's a brave woman and she's decent and she wants to merge Venezuelan policies with the United States and understands freedom and liberty and a lot of this has the same values we have.
Okay, great. Well, Gary, thank you so much for your time. I know how valuable it is. And thank you for your service to our country. Keep pushing.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. I know this is a difficult story and it's hard for people to absorb. And I thank all the people that work with us, you know, that helped Martine and I and Patrick in this fight.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best to keep pushing it out. Thank you very much for coming on.
Well, that's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found our content today of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977. And on Rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show, scroll down on my index page there, the first page, and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.